When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Were you deflated to learn that running back DeAndre Swift was the surprise addition to the Bears injury list on Wednesday with a groin injury? Matt Eberflus expressed optimism Swift could be available Sunday's game, provided he gets a couple of days off. Safety Elijah Hicks also out with an ankle, as expected. And Tevin Jenkins was limited, he also dealing with an ankle injury.
Yeah, it's good that Jenkins was back in a limited fashion, so that's the good news of it. But you're going to need DeAndre Swift. I mean, it's all hands on deck in these division games, as simple as that. And you hope that it is sort of wear and tear and stuff that a couple days off will help. I straining a groin muscle, not good for a guy who's a quick twitch athlete and needs kind of to be a part of explosive plays. And he's had some explosive plays, so I hope he is up and running and ready to go. But I don't know that he needs to practice at all this week, frankly. I mean, I don't think that's a great way to prepare yourself for a game. You need to be taking all those mental reps and understanding the game plan and all that. But for a running back, I think you're okay if he doesn't practice, provided he can play on Sunday. And the Elijah Hicks thing is a little bit scary. When you're getting into third string players, you've got to be aware of that, and you've got to be cautious about it, and you've got to sort of game plan around that yourself. You got to make sure you're not putting people in a position where they can't succeed. So, never good news from the injury report at this time of year, but you do feel deflated when you see a guy added to it that you didn't know was hurt.
The Bears aren't very good, and the Bears will be worse without DeAndre Swift. And the word deflated, I know this isn't the question, but since the word is in there, you sounded deflated yesterday. It was Matt Eberflus. Now, I don't want him to be up there kicking his heels or puffy chested or anything like that, but he just seemed like down and out and run down yesterday up at the podium.
He probably watched the tape of the Vikings, and that's gonna seep in.
Like that can't be good when he stands in front of those 60 guys up at Hallis Hall.
That's what I'm talking about. The power of positivity. That's part of the job. To project. But I don't disagree with that. Yesterday I was a little disappointed at him being deflated. I don't think that's the right tone to set. But nonetheless, the injury report, yeah, Elijah Hicks, a little bit of a concern. That's going to be a big job stopping Justin Jefferson and those weapons. Tevin Jenkins, yeah, he may start, but will he finish? DeAndre Swift is the big one. He doesn't need to practice. He's a pro at 10 games into a season where he's having a pretty good year. He has, after a slow start, represented himself quite well, averaging 4.1 yards per carry, going against the toughest run defense in the league statistically. And they want to swallow you up and smother you so they can come after you with the zero blitz, the king of the zero blitz. So that all starts with stopping the run. They give up 74 yards per game. So if you don't have DeAndre Swift at full strength, you are limited and you are one-dimensional. So he needs to get back on the field. They need to find ways to isolate him in space because he's the guy that can make people miss, and he's the guy that gives you that explosiveness you lack. So this was a big addition to the injury report and a reminder why Mully likes to see it and waits with bated breath every Wednesday.
Yeah, it's a good question.
How about the Bears QB Caleb Williams calling Vikings DC Brian Flores, quote, the king of the cover zero blitz, end quote, and that the Bears will have to be ready for the pressure that will be coming? What's the key?
Us being decisive, us having a plan for all of that. And then from there, get the ball to your playmakers, run the ball well and efficiently. And from there, when they give you shots and give you explosive plays, you make those plays.
All right, so can Caleb Williams and this offense beat the king of the cover zero blitz?
Don't be afraid to throw the ball down the field. Isolate one-on-one matchups, because that's what you get when you see the zero blitz, when you see man coverage. Don't be afraid to give your guys a chance to go up and get it. Jordan Love style. That's what happened. He threw in a double coverage, and Christian Watson rewarded that once with a 48-yard catch. So that's key. Caleb Williams pretty good against the blitz. His passer rating, 87.2. He's not phased or overwhelmed necessarily. He would, I think, it benefit him to take a little more risks involved and add more those kind of down the field throws. It also makes him a more dangerous runner. He's coming off a game where he ran for 70 yards. You don't want to necessarily do this by design, but that could slow a blitz down. First couple times, if they come at him and they're playing two man behind him or two man deep, then you leave a lot of room on the field for Caleb Williams to gain ground with his legs. So those are the dangers when you blitz as often as the Vikings are going to blitz Caleb Williams. So he's got to keep his poise, look for his keys, read them, and then make them pay.
Yeah, I think this will be another step in the maturation of Caleb Williams as a quarterback in this league. I expect him. I'm curious to see his rushing total. I thought his answer yesterday was very interesting when asked if the new play caller encouraged him to run the ball a little bit more. And he's like, well, no, I got legs. really? Okay. Thank you for noticing that you have legs.
I think he was good at the podium, though.
Yeah,
he was fine. He's still a little too. He's on the opposite end of things. He's a little too happy. So somewhere in the middle, him and Matt Eberflus could meet. Never, ever, ever, David. Welcome to the score.
Yeah, I thought he was good yesterday, and I liked the king of the cover zero blitz. That was amusing. It's also true, and he's going to be, you know, they're going to be coming at him from all directions. And, you know, it's what happens with a 3-4 defense. And, you know, Brian Flores is a hell of a coordinator. But I think that it's the old Bill Parcells line, one or two interceptions only one or two. That's what you got to tell them. Do not be afraid to take a shot. Do not be afraid to take a chance, especially trust your playmakers. You know, you're going to have to throw up a couple and see if they can get them, because you're right. That's what you do when it's mano a mano stuff. And hey, you know, Jordan Love did it very well, frankly. That not just the one into double coverage, that was ridiculous, but the one that the cornerback slipped on, I don't think that would have been an interception. That was a pretty good throw, and you need to make some of those kind of plays. That's how you beat a team, is you get a couple of big plays down the field. It'll be really interesting, because you just, you know, what I like about him running, when you talk about him running, is that he kind of has this knack for not getting hit clean. And if he can do that, if he sees something and he knows where they're coming and someone stepped inside, off you go. There's no problem with that at all. But, like, keep yourself out of harm's way. And that means get rid of the ball, and it means don't hold it and wait for someone to get open. It means anticipate things and have some big plays by letting your go up and get it, guys. Go up and get it. Maybe that's why you're going to see another tall receiver added to the mix.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I don't think we want to find out the answer to that question.
That's the voice of Brad Biggs. 7 a.m. is Biggs time. White Sox prospect Colson Montgomery said he has envisioned being the everyday shortstop in 2025.
My agency and with the White Sox, we're kind of just getting back into being more of the athlete that I am. You know, played basketball and football, so we're doing a lot of things like that, just trying to get me back to be an athlete. And I'm maturing more, so I'm gaining weight and things like that. So we want to be able to stick at shortstop because I know I'm a shortstop. Even though I played third in the fall league, that does not mean anything. I was just playing third, anything to help the team win and just get in the lineup, you know. So I'm a shortstop and that's it.
He's a shortstop and that's it, according to Colson Montgomery. How realistic is it that he is the everyday shortstop in 2025 over at 35th and Shields?
I got to tell you, you know, what's really interesting is that, like, he kind of, you know, he had a rough go of it in the minor leagues last year, didn't it? You know, his star didn't shine as brightly. He's 22 now. You know, you've been waiting on him, and he was in, like, the top 10 prospects. He's, like, 16 now. I mean, that's still very good. But he has been, others are getting past him a little bit. But you got to say, he played really well in the Arizona Fall League. He really kind of revitalized his career. And when he moved to third base to do so, I thought about our conversation with Ozzy. Ozzy was kind of like, he'd be really good at third base. And kind of, you know, the problem with the tall guys is that, you know, it's great if you can be, you know, Cal Ripken, but there's a lot of guys that can't do that. And I don't know if it's best for the White Sox to have him as a third baseman. But he made it clear, wants to play third base and envisions himself as wants to play shortstop and envisions himself as a shortstop. And, you know, if he's got aspirations of doing that this year, that's great. You know, they had to protect him from the Rule 5 draft, and they moved him on to the 40-man, so let's get to it. That's fine by me. This team isn't going anywhere, but, you know, if he has to be the third baseman to start out, then I'd have no problem with that either. I don't know how he'd feel.
Well, I mean, if not now, when? Right? If you're not going to bring this guy up for the start of this season, something for the fans to...
Then you'd be next year.
Yeah, well, I guess, if you want to be literal. Come on. He needs to be every day 35th and Shields playing shortstop.
Yeah, I think that it's time, because you have a young manager, you have a young bench coach, you've got a young general manager, you've got youth everywhere. So having a 22-year-old former first-round draft pick at shortstop for a team that's likely to struggle would not be necessarily getting over your skis, or it's outlandish or crazy to consider. Not that he will ever be Bobby Witt Jr., but he's got to be the White Sox version of him. And in 2022, Bobby Witt Jr., 22 years old, first-round draft pick, started 150 games at shortstop for the 97-loss Kansas City Royals. He hit .254, wasn't overwhelming, had 20 home runs, but that was the start of his ascension. And I think you've got to get experience to find out what you have and to give your guy that you've invested all this hope in a chance to prove himself. Colson Montgomery, I think, is a shortstop. Intriguing possibility of playing third base, but they are stockpiled at third base with prospects. He's got to play shortstop. He wants to play shortstop. Sounds like he's got his swagger, confidence back a little bit. You're right. 3 weeks in the Arizona Fall League can maybe outweigh a Triple-A summer of struggle.
Right.
And that makes no sense. I think that's baseball.
It's young players.
Exactly. So hopefully this continues into spring training, and he is your opening day starter and plays about 150 games.
I really don't want to answer this question, to be totally honest with you, but I will.
With Chris Sale winning the NL Cy Young for the Braves, Dylan Cease finishing fourth for the Padres, what message should MLB take about White Sox pitchers on the trade market? What message would you like to send to the Sox about trading pitchers? And who should be congratulated about the Cubs? Shota Imanaga, who finished fifth on the NL side for Cy Young.
Let's start there. Congratulations, Shota. He deserves all of the praise because he came through, made the adjustment, and was great. Had a great season. Jed Hoyer, congrats for finding him. Your scouting staff, this is a win. This is a victory. Their record when Shota was on the mound, remarkable. As for the ex-White Sox pitcher factor, I would be in line to get Garrett Crochet on my staff, because something happens to pitchers once they leave the White Sox. We don't have Carlos Rodon mentioned, but he's on that list. There are other guys on that list. Starts with Sale. Now, congratulations to him. He gets his Cy Young. Dylan Cease is always going to be in the mix. What a rotation you could put together of ex-White Sox stars. Ronaldo Lopez would be in there somewhere. It's crazy. But Garrett Crochet, yeah, we'd all like to sign him long-term. We all know how unrealistic that is. So in the best interest of the White Sox, they've got to take the best deal. So Chris Getz is open for business. If I'm the Baltimore Orioles and I follow the Orioles, I'm telling my scouts, I'm telling my fan base that once you get Garrett Crochet in your organization, good things happen. Because look at the examples of past White Sox pitchers who left and flourished.
I understand they probably have to trade him, but don't be in a rush. Don't be in a rush. Get the best offer you possibly can, because right now I think his value is kind of in the middle. We also need to see, you're talking about the Orioles, David, like, what are they doing in free agency? Are they going to buy? Are they going to buy a top arm, or are they going to trade for a top arm? I guess that is part of it too. Who else is in the mix for the top free agent pitchers? As far as Shota goes, obviously Shota deserves a credit. David, you mentioned a long list, but I'd also like to throw our guy Tommy Hotovy into the mix for his success.
Yeah, Tommy was on my list as well, and Jed and whoever. I don't know. Is Carter Hawkins doing a lot of work with pitching? I really love that signing, and I think that one of the great things about that signing was also the personality of the player, just the way that he kind of embraced everything and jumped into it, and just his whole he's been just fantastic and just so fun to have in town. So congrats to Shota for his personality as much as his pitching, and obviously it's his pitching that gets it done, but don't you feel like his kind of personality allows him to meet the moment a little? Just really a fun guy to be around. Chris Sale winning the Cy Young for Atlanta. Dylan Cease finished fourth. Rodon didn't get a vote, but believe it or not, Ronaldo Lopez got one vote for the Cy Young, and that's nice to see for him.
Man.
And just the season he had. And yeah, I would pursue Sox players, no question about it. I wish they wouldn't trade Garrett Crochet, but they're going to. And you're right, Dustin. They need to get the best deal out there, and they need to keep trying to get a better deal.
Terrific question. Need to get that answer. Don't have it for you today.
That's the voice of Bruce Levine. He's going to talk Cubs and White Sox at 8:25 with Mullion Hahn. What do you make of the Cubs trading for the reliever Eli Morgan, a 28-year-old member of the Guardians bullpen that was the best in the MLB last year, to make room for him on the 40-man roster? The Cubs had to DFA a fan favorite, Patrick Wisdom, whose unlikely rise from a journeyman minor leaguer to a fan favorite was just a terrific story.
That was one of the best stories that we've seen from the Cubs, right? It was like Patrick Wisdom and Schwindy City, and Wisdom was the guy that managed to last a little bit. And it was really fun. And he was a former top prospect, and he finally got more of an opportunity. And he really, the Cubs were bad as a team, but he was really a pretty good player and a pretty fun story. And, I mean, I wonder if there's a team around that needs better work at first base, maybe someone a little taller who could hit a home run. I'm all for it if you want to finally pull the plug on certain players that are just eating up roster spots, it seems like, right? I mean, how much longer are we going to pretend like Gavin Sheets is doing well and Andrew Vaughn's okay? I mean, move on if you have to. And here's a guy that you could get relatively inexpensively, and maybe he could hit a home run. It'd be fun to see someone hit a home run. I think the Sox should be looking at guys like that. Eli Morgan, I was reading some of his statistics were just unbelievable last year, and the feeling is that they may get worse. But even if they get worse, they're still going to be pretty good in the Cubs' bullpen. So I thought it was a pretty good trade. They traded a pitcher who is, he's he's a guy that's was in their top, what, was he 25th or 26th or something? He's down the list. They just have other guys ahead of him. And they've got a lot of block players. So if you get a chance to make a move and get something that can help you, you do so. And, you know, it's a guy that had success last year. It's good. It's definitely good. They also brought in a catcher, but that was just for money. I don't know if he's any good. But Eli Morgan, pretty good player.
On paper, I really like this Eli Morgan move, but I have to wonder why. Not why did the Cubs get him, but why are the Guardians willing to let this guy go? I mean, the Cubs bullpen stunk out loud last year. I mean, there was that one little blip where on paper, like their numbers got better, but they weren't really any better. It was smoke and mirrors. So that was when the numbers didn't exactly jive with what was actually happening out on the field. But like, let's see, because you know you can only go up. That the bullpen was an absolute anchor in a bad way for the Cubs last season. David, I was curious with you, Patrick Wisdom or David Bodie, better story?
David Bodie by a mile.
Okay, that's exactly what I expected.
David Bodie by a mile. Look, with due respect to Patrick Wisdom, he averaged 25 home runs from 2021 to 2023. But this notion that the Cubs are going to miss him is misguided. And the fact that he could help any team next year as a starting first baseman is, to me, ridiculous. He hit 171.
Yeah, I didn't say the Cubs were going to miss him, and I didn't say he could play for anyone. I said the worst team in baseball could use help at first base.
8 home runs in 75 games. Patrick Wisdom, he was not Craig Counsell's guy. And I wasn't surprised he would be released. I think that he might end up as a bench player somewhere else, or DH somewhere else, possibly. But he, forever, whatever reason, fell out of favor. He's 32. Good story. Bodie, do you think Bodie is not a better story, Dustin?
No, I just know that you.
Well, I mean,
you like him a lot. So I was just curious. He was a fan favorite
longer than Bodie.
Definitely. But I think he was more highly regarded coming in. Like he was a Cardinal first. What, he was a high draft pick.
Wasn't he a Dodger with the draft?
Cardinal. Yeah, he came Cardinals and Rangers and Cubs, and he landed with the Cubs. For 3 years, 25 homers a year, that's no small thing. He had a good spurt. Eli Morgan, Dustin, I think he reminds me of this move almost like the Hector Neris move last year. You hope that you...
Ooh, you hope, geez, I'm just saying, hey, boy, no, Mr. Man. Glass half empty over here.
Hold on a second. But a year, when you got Neris, you thought it was going to be good, right? I think this feels like it's going to be good.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
What did you think of the way the Bulls played in Milwaukee, and how should we interpret Patrick Williams missing the game to get imaging done on a foot, the same one he had surgery on last season?
Billy Donovan offered that they're not going to know more for about a week. And then what? This guy's got a contract. It's the same foot that he had surgery on. Now you've got an issue that in a roster that's not fully equipped to handle his absence. Who guards anybody? We saw what happened last night. Giannis, what do you have, 41? You become much less athletic. Not going to overstate Patrick Williams' growth or progress, but he did give you a guy that could play some D. Now he is on the shelf indefinitely, it sounds like. Not a good development. And was I the only one surprised? Should I have been surprised? I was surprised.
So if Patrick Williams plays last night north of the Cheddar Curtain, Antetokounmpo scores 39, and they only have 18 free throws in the second half. I didn't say you. Big whip. Okay, he has not missed one bit. Patrick, I mean, how in the world he got paid is beyond. Well, he's only 19. Well, he's only 23. Let's give him another contract. He's only 27. I mean, how many more? I mean, come on, that guy stinks. He's awful, and ooh is not an offensive move.
You
were waiting for it. I did it on purpose. Not an offensive move. Go to the basket. How about a rebound?
There's some poor little girl who was coached by Dustin once raised a hand and called for the ball. And we get this.
Just with Patrick Williams. Every time.
We can't have a serious conversation about Patrick Williams or about.
Is it even worth having a serious conversation about
Zach LaVine? Yeah. Yeah. They need him, Dustin.
They need all hands on deck.
And he's their best defensive player, and he's one of the few guys that can deal with larger players. And, you know, the problem with Giannis is if you're not taking him the entire floor, he's going to come down and he's going to run at you, and there's literally nothing you can do other than flop down on the floor while he dunks over you. So you need him. And it's I just feel like this one snuck up on me.
Yes.
Because there was a rumor. I know about the rumor because KC looked into it and said, no, he's okay. And now he's missing at least three games. They've announced he's out basically for a week and he's not going to play in three games. And that's not good for a guy who just surgically repaired that foot. I don't like it at all.
You got enough guys on pitch counts.
Exactly. Exactly right. But the ooh thing, I mean, honestly, has he ever called for a pass? He's not even that aggressive on offense that he would stand in a corner and say, ooh, ooh.
And frankly, we're not talking about what they're missing offensively if he is out indefinitely.
No, we're talking about
defensively. He is probably their most versatile defender.
It's like a guy doing a terrible impersonation. You know, well, I'm Bobby Kennedy and I'm talking like this. He doesn't talk like that. That's not a good impersonation.
That's actually not speaking. It's groaning.
He doesn't groan.
No.
He's not.
He doesn't stand in the corner and call for the ball. You coach some girl who did that. You got your mind warped with this.
Why does Dustin hate the Bulls?
He hates the Bulls.
Max LaVine and the Patrick Williams imitation underscores.
Would you like my thoughts on Josh Giddey?
And he goes around saying that LeBron's a lot better than Mike. I mean, he hates him.
I can't believe
it. Now that is not true.
I mean, that Cavs hoodie's a bit much today.
No shot. I'm wearing red and black. I am wearing a beautiful flag and anthem red and black flannel shirt. Supporting my Chicago Bulls.
And I'm wearing a blue.
Honolulu blue.
I'm wearing a flag and anthem.
Dan Campbell over there.
And this that's what I'm greeted with. Well, what is it today? The Lions or the Chargers?
I'm ready for winter in my flag and anthem 3/4 zip sweater. Merino sweater.
We're all covered.